First of all, if it is agreeable, then we will have a question period tomorrow.
Yes, Father.
Superior says, okay. So, and pile on the questions. And I repeat, objections, whatever you wish. They'll be tomorrow, immediately after the 2 o'clock conference. Also, so far I thought it was wise to cover every question in sequence. From now on, however, we will drop some questions here and there, which in my judgment would be less relevant, at least for public commentary. But do read, I'd recommend, even the parts that we omit. Question 108. How are consecrated persons to cooperate with the laity? The distinction the Holy Father makes is crucial. In the case of monastic and contemplative institutes, this cooperation is mainly spiritual, for obvious reasons. On the other hand, those engaged in what we call the active apostolic life, the laity, may and even should be involved in various forms of pastoral cooperation. The same goes for secular institutes. One very important observation, however, the cooperation of the laity implies that they are somehow to participate in and live out the spirituality, call it charism, of the founder of that institute. There is still, I mean this, a great deal of development for the laity cooperating with the handmaids of the precious blood. A few comments on some of the benefits for the laity in cooperating. First, the spirituality of an institute is extended beyond the confines of its membership. In the history of the Catholic Church, this has been, you might almost call it, a law of spirituality. I know of no exceptions. All the major lay apostolates, and by now over the centuries there have been thousands, have been inspired by the charism of the founder or foundress of a religious institute. You might say the sequence goes from Christ to the founder, from the founder to the institute that she found, he or she founds, and then from the institute to a broad, wide, both variety and number of the laity. The Franciscans were founded in the early 13th century. By the 14th century, the lowest estimate is 2 million people in Europe who were somehow followers of and imitators of St. Francis. As I've said so often, my mother was buried in a Franciscan habit, sash, cincture, everything. At the wake, my friends asked me, "John, what is this? Was your mother a nun?" Well, she was a Franciscan tertiary. Again, the laity, through their association with and dependence on an institute, can experience at first hand, and now today's world needs to experience at first hand, the spirit of the evangelical councils. And remember, the one word that distinguishes the evangelical councils from evangelical precepts is the word more. More than what? That we promise our Lord to do more than we have to under pain of sin. Again, said the Holy Father, through their association with an institute of consecrated life, the laity live out the spirit of the Beatitudes, which is at the root, another figure of speech, the foundation of consecrated life, living the Beatitudes. If ever the laity needed this, it is today. I think I should say this. May sound like, who knows, vanity. This morning from 6:30 till about 7:45, I dictated to a young woman, college student in Dallas, Texas, in answering the letters, some 300 of them, congratulating the sinner on his 50 years in the priesthood. There's no way I could cope with that. And she's being paid nothing. Found lodging for her. All board and room paid for. Pardon me. Donated by, yeah, who else? The donor. I cannot tell you how the people in the world need to inherit our spirituality. They are hungry for it. And finally, the distinctive charism of the Institute becomes thus, through the involvement of the laity, more deeply understood and more fruitful in the apostolate. And sisters, there was a lot come, an awful lot of work still to be done. My lay associates, my the people that are in various ways connected with the spirituality of Father Gerald, and with emphasis, the oblates. There are just so many of you, but somebody, dear Lord, somebody had better be at the service of Catholic priests, and not only in our own country, but with emphasis in America. The more faithful, the more loyal, the more generous priests are, the more orthodox they are, There are, thank God, exceptions. But in large measure, the more they are suffering. You may hear a word here, a paragraph you might read somewhere else. They are suffering. And for the obvious reason that we are living in, what a kind word, in a paganized America. I think we should ask this question. Who are associates of institutes of consecrated life? There are those who, to a certain degree, or for a certain period of time, participate in the life and apostolate of the consecrated institute. Saint Thomas Aquinas, early 13th century, would never have been, well, a Dominican, genius, doctor of the church, unless he had been for years associated with, well, a Benedictine monastery. The last sentence is crucial. To be kept in mind, however, is that these associations do not harm the identity of the institute. In my years now in working with religious institutes, generous lay people, but the institutes must, and I use the word deliberately, must beware. It is one thing for the laity to benefit from the spirituality of an institute of consecrated life. It is something else for the laity to influence, affect, and even change the spirituality of the institute. I thought I'd go on to 113. How have consecrated women benefited the Catholic Church? The question how is important, because the fact is a matter of history. Their contribution over the centuries, going back to the consecrated virgins in the first century of Christianity, has been beyond any human estimation. Now, a perhaps unexpected observation in our day, and the Pope singles out in our day, their insights. Whose insights? Those of consecrated women are helping men, masculine and gender, to understand their own role in the life of the church. I can now speak for hours, as I have over the years, in teaching theology. When, as we read in the first chapters of Genesis, Adam came first, masculine and gender. Eve came next, feminine gender. However you translate from the Vulgate, helpmate to the man, or now, over the centuries, to the men. Women, and I say this with full awareness, women are indispensable for the spiritual, both progress and achievement of men. Now that includes members of the hierarchy. It includes priests. It includes men religious. And at this point, as we go through these questions, we could, I won't, it's not the occasion, examine in detail how, because men, masculine gender, need, what shall we call it, the cooperation, the assistance of women, how some women, bewitched by Marxism, have begun to dominate men. I must have said this a dozen times in the years of our retreats. Not a single basic idea of radical feminism, not one, was conceived by anyone else except Karl Marx. I have graduate courses that I've taught over the years on Marxism. I've never tired telling my students Marxism is at the root of the massive revolution taking place in one once civilized society after another. And the satanic dream of Karl Marx was that women would finally crush, in the words, in division either German or Russian, means crush the men who for so many centuries of human history have been dominating women. It is especially here that Christian charity, love, selfless cooperation between women and men to place them first is so indispensable, even to stem the tide of the massive murder of unborn children in the world today. An average of 16 million legalized abortions every year during the 70 years of domination of Russia by communism. How does the church view the role of consecrated women in the future? Only God really knows, but for the present, Holy Father tells us the church sees consecrated women contributing to a deeper understanding and appreciation of their dignity, their identity, their ability, their mission, and responsibility among the people of God. However, always, it must be not in competition, but in cooperation with the men, including the hierarchy and the priesthood. And now, as we know, and this is among the God knows how many, but I believe millions of women, especially in the Anglo-Saxon countries. Some are more vocal than others, but they insist on their ordination to the priesthood. There are now courses in once Catholic colleges and universities exclusively on the subject of feminism, including the ordination of women to the priesthood. I know from personal experience, when we still had our Jesuit School of Theology in Chicago, which has since been wiped out, I was on the faculty. All kinds of women, mostly nuns, dolled up in feminine finery, attending our classes. And then came ordination time. I think I've shared some of this with you before. What else? The Jesuit scholastics, as we call them, were ordained. The women were not ordained. Protests, highly publicized by the media. Women marching outside, and except for the police, would have marched inside the church at the ordination mass. And I warned my fellow Jesuits, look, my brethren, this is dishonest. We're getting good mazuma from these women taking theology. They want to be ordained. We will not be able to ordain them. That's dishonest. I've never said this before. This is the main reason why one after another, all told three of our major Jesuit seminaries in the United States were closed. Now two small ones left. How we need the church's authority to guide here both men and women to cooperate with one another, not compete. Next question, again, somewhat unexpected. Are women foreseen as participating more closely in the life of the church? Yes. Oh, how safe the question is. More closely. But just so closely. Holy Father foresees women participating in different fields and at all levels, including decision-making processes. Above all, matters which concern women themselves. But what has happened? How will I know? My now 30th year in working for the ODC, one diocese after another, tormented, tried, because foolishly stony-willed women, I've said this by now, I'm sure, a dozen times to you. Who has a stronger will, men or women? If any woman doubts it, no man I've ever spoken to has any doubt, especially husbands. But these wills must be enlightened. That's what we've got in mind. And enlightened, obviously, by the spirit of divine wisdom, which comes from Christ through his vicar. Again, consistent with what we are saying, is the formation of consecrated women open to development. Yes. And I may have said this on some occasion to you. My Jesuit confreres over the years, John, these retreats you're giving to women, how do you do it? And when I finish reluctantly on Sunday morning here, then I go to Chicago, and guess what? I start giving a retreat to 65 lay women. All planned by the Lord. My father died when I was a year old, as I've said so many times, for 15 years. I lived in a household only of women. As we say in Rome, I've repeated this so often, Mamma Mia. There is no question that in God's providence, he wants women to be more active, more deeply involved in human society at large and in consecrated life in particular. However, always, behind whatever development there is, there must be authentically Catholic, and I mean authentically Catholic, training and education. Are women foreseen as cooperating in his formation? Yes. And then, a quotation, the Holy Father's encyclical on the Evangelium Vitae. Women occupy a place in thought and action which is unique and decisive. It depends on them to promote a new feminism. Use the word, but be sure you know what it means. That rejects the temptation of imitating models of male domination. Why? To both acknowledge and affirm the true genius of women in every aspect in the life of society and overcome all discrimination, violence, and exploitation. When I first read those words, I said to myself, thanks, Holy Father, flanks. You know what radical feminism is doing? Exactly. Discriminating, using violence and exploitation against men. If you have not read, get a copy and read The Bishop of Peoria's Pastor, The Role of Men and Fatherhood in Society. And our nation abets this discrimination against men. In the Bronx, where I taught for over 10 years, the Missionaries of Charity are teaching in Long Island at the university. I think I've said this before. At most, 10% of the children in the Bronx and the population of the Bronx is about 2 million. At most, 10% of those children are born to a father and mother only the woman 90% only women handsomely billions of dollars supported by the government. Now we enter a new section of the Holy Father's document. Continuity in spiritual work, faithfulness in change. In other words, the church is developing. But what a difference between two adjectives, continuous development and discontinuous development. What's the difference? The development of the church, progress in the church's grasp, understanding, and clarifying of her, well, her gift of the truth revealed by Christ. But it is continuous. There is never any contradiction between what follows later and what had preceded earlier. Question. Why does the monastic life of women deserve special attention? You would think the Holy Father wrote this for the handmaids of the precious blood. Pardon me, he did. He deserves special attention because it reveals the paramount need in the church, which is to be with the Lord. Cloistered nuns choose an enclosed space over the centuries there were high walls. They're not so high anymore. Where they share in Christ's emptying of himself by means of a radical poverty. They renounce not only spatial extension, but many benefits of creation. Just for the record, statistically, most of the world travelers are women. Billions of dollars every year in who? Going, you name it, where? And the lady who, for the Sports Illustrated magazine yesterday, she gave me her age. I won't repeat it. Working for the magazine at a very good salary. She's been all over the world. Asia, several times. Europe, just about every country, many times. North and South America, Australia. In other words, call it the renouncing of spatial extension. There are many other ways in which, as the question asks, why does the monastic life of women deserve special attention? This shows that they enter, this needs to be memorized. Look up the exact words of the Holy Father. Says the Pope, this allows them to enter more fully into the mystery of the Holy Eucharist, where Christ is enclosed in the sacred species. Remember that. That's our faith. I'm getting faxes from Iowa, from the wife of a man who claimed he was becoming a Catholic when they married. Within less than half a year after their marriage, it became clear he never became Catholic in the first place. Just hates, and the verb is hates, the Catholic Church. A fundamentalist Baptist and of the most militant type. And among the things the wife faxed me from the newspaper, if you please, of their town is the pastor of her husband's parish, an ex-Catholic. What he says about the real presence, except that it's in print, would be unprintable. That verb enclosed is just, you might say, the English translation of the defined verb defined by the Council of Trent. Jesus Christ, in the Latin, continetur, is contained in or under the appearances of bread and wine. Now the appearances is a real. Has appearances. Physical properties remain, but the substance, what had been bread and had been wine, is no longer bread and wine, but the living Jesus Christ. Lord, how desperately we need to realize that the Christ we are to imitate is not only the Christ who lived visibly and mortally on earth in Palestine, but the Jesus Christ who is now on earth. Which, incidentally, will be the main theme of both my retreats this coming week. Women first, then Wednesday to Sunday morning, the men. The Holy Eucharist, not only as a source of grace, which it is a principal source of grace in our lives, but the model, the pattern of how we are to live. If there's one thing the modern world does not want, is to live a hidden, obscure, unknown life. We continue. How does the Holy Father express his gratitude to cloistered women? He thanks them, and we should add, he is thanking you for witnessing to the eternal life for which we exist. How we need, oh, we hypnotized, mesmerized, intoxicated creatures need to realize we were not made, dear God, no, for this world. He encourages all, change the pronoun, you, to remain faithful to your unique vocation. He expresses the hope that your way of life will continue to draw many vocations. This is an order from the Vicar of Christ. In thanking the people who have generously both written to me for my Golden Jubilee in the priesthood and been very generous in their prayers and their contributions, which of course I pass on to my superiors. But I put in one paragraph where this letter was dictated. And I'm seeing this for the first time publicly. And in closing, a prepaid postcard on the reverse side of which will be an invitation to cooperate in the sanctification of priests. There is nothing, comma, nothing, which America more needs today than the sanctification, and in so many cases, the re-sanctification of priests. Now, an unusual question. Are monastic associations to be encouraged? The Pope says yes, but immediately adds a proviso that such associations always respect the legitimate autonomy of each monastery, and this failure to observe this injunction of the Pope has, I won't use the word wiped out, but terribly damaged many once strong monastic institutes in our country. Call them monastic federations. They can help provide for such needs as initial and continuing formation. And hear it, mutual economic support. I happen to know, I won't give you any figures, I happen to know what the income was of the Hamish of the Precious Blood when I first came as Mother Dolorosa. Is she in chapel? I think I told you. I was giving a retreat to the Little Sisters of the Poor in Los Angeles. She had written several times about my coming to Hamer Springs. Well, all kinds of needs that sisters have. I said, I'd pray for you. But this time she calls me up from Hamer to L.A. Father, he is just a skip and a jump. So I skipped and jumped. Have been coming to Hamer Springs ever since. How little I would almost want to call it starvation. Shall I use the word wages? Which your sisters were surviving. And this, by the way, without dwelling on it, is one of the really critical aspects of monastic life, especially of women contemplatives. And the nature of things, you are not engaged in, well, I keep using the word mazuma. Salaries now of those sisters who are still teaching. There are exceptions, thank God. But most of the salaries, and of course their number, has dwindled to just a fraction. Some 15% of the sisters who are teaching in Catholic schools in 1965 are now teaching in 1997. And they demand the same salaries, I repeat, with some exceptions, that are earned by, well, women teachers in public schools. Pray that the Lord will enlighten both your superiors and inspire your lay associates and your oblates. Hope I'm clear in providing for the needs of your community. Pardon me, shall I say it? Even, well, a leaking roof. I would like to spend a little more time, if you don't mind, because I think I counted them. I think there are 202 questions in this catechism. Suppose we transmit 121, 122, 123, 124. Does the Church encourage the founding of new institutes of consecrated life? Needless to say, an emphatic yes. One reason, I'm still paraphrasing from the words of our Holy Father, for the rise of so many new institutes is a widespread crisis in consecrated life, especially, so-called developed countries. Oh, how developed we are. We eat more than the other major nation in the world. We sleep more. We work less. And we're developed. Those poor, undeveloped nations. That is why, and this is now the official teaching of the Holy See, the United States is now formally a mission country. Do you hear me? How our nation needs, which were only evangelization, but re-evangelization. Where do young people nowadays see, even women religious who look like religious? During my 8-day stay in Poland for the International Eucharistic Congress, thousands of women religious, full habit, and of course, this is saying much more than the words I am using may imply. If there is one nation that needs vocations to the consecrated life, it is ours. And my Vatican superiors have told me more than once, barring a miracle, whole dioceses in the United States will be wiped out. And we repeat, my Vatican superiors have told me, barring a miracle, which of course they hope will take place, whole dioceses in the United States will disappear. I won't name the principal ones. I know them well by name. And one of my responsibilities is to organize those Catholics who are still Catholics, and those priests, dare I say it, who are still priests in these dioceses, even to offer, Mass for people. And, shall I also say it, a valid Mass. In many ways, thank God, you are not exposed to, shall I say, all that's going on in our once beloved, even Christian nation. Let me take 125 and close. Is there a need for special discernment regarding these new communities? Extraordinary discernment. on both the local and universal level in order to manifest a common obedience to the one Holy Spirit. Bishops should examine the witness of life and the orthodoxy of the founders of such communities. Their spirituality, their witness of apostolic life, the methods of formation, the way of incorporating new members, especially the bishops ought to have clear norms and hear it, clear norms provided by the Holy See for deciding on the suitability of ordination to the priesthood in these new communities. Without identifying the men's community, I've been working with them for over 15 years. They've gone through four dioceses. Finally, shall I say, I found a bishop who accepted them into his diocese, and because I was out of the country, I could not attend the ordination. The church needs new communities, both of women and of men. But the bottom line is authenticity. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the graces you've been giving to the handmaids of the precious blood now for 50 years. But Lord Jesus, you're living in a critically embattled world. A world engaged in a conflict between the spirit of light and the spirit of darkness. We beg you to continue enlightening the handmaids of the precious blood to remain faithful, not just for the next 50 years, but even if it is your will until the end of time. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.